So a couple weeks ago, I started doing a message that we've called Taste and See. And it's about us bearing fruit. Now, we know about the fruits of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, all that. But the problem is, we forget that that fruit has a purpose. We're forgetting that we're supposed to bear fruit, not be fruits, right? How many Christians do you know are actually fruity? I mean, we can all be a little fruity. But there are some that just, they are Fruit Loops. And the reality is, that's not the kind of fruit we're told to bear. Fruit is supposed to be something that's good. In the very beginning, in Genesis, God said, be fruitful and multiply. Multiplication is the sex part, if you didn't figure that out. But he said, be fruitful. Why would he say be fruitful? Because there's something we're supposed to be doing. Man had a job. Everybody looks, oh, if we just had life in the garden, we wouldn't have jobs. Hogwash. God gave Adam a job before he gave him a wife. That's my stipulation. If I had a daughter, that would be the number one thing. Does the boy have a job? If he don't, he ain't worth marrying yet. You wait till the boy's got a job. I didn't get a girl till I got a job. Go figure. So God told us in the very beginning, be fruitful. We've talked about how we're grafted into the vine. We were a wild olive tree, and now we're grafted into the vine of Jesus Christ. And that if we don't bear fruit, the Bible says God is the vine dresser, and he will prune us so that we will bear fruit. And if we don't bear fruit after that, we are removed from the vine, cast into the fire and burned. And if you don't understand what that means, it says we are removed from the fire and cast into hell. Because fruit is something we're supposed to be producing. Well, brother, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. Well, I'm going to try to hopefully help you. We've talked about leaves. We got to look at the whole thing of the vine. There are leaves at the same time there's fruit generally. The fruit is like, it will go with grapes. Anybody's ever picked grapes knows you got to move those great big leaves to the side to find the grapes. And those leaves came on, and then those grapes started growing, and they're protected. Why? Because anybody that's got cherries or peaches knows the first thing that happens when those things start turning colors. The birds find them. They sit there and they peck them. You get the Japanese beetles all over your grapes. This year, unfortunately, I think I counted 12 blossoms on my peach trees. It's not looking good. Last year, they were totally pink. This year, 12. Okay. It's a good thing I plan on buying my peaches anyhow. But the fruit, or the leaves, we'll get back to the leaves real quick. The leaves are the things that we're supposed to be doing as believers. We're supposed to be praying. If God tells you to pray for an hour a day, you'd better be praying for an hour a day. If God tells you to fast so many days a month, you had better be fasting. If God tells you to, well, God has already told us all to tithe and to give. That's just one of them. Reading your Bible. Volunteering at things. Those are good. These are all the things we need. We're supposed to be doing these things. We're supposed to be serving in the church. That's why here, that's part of my stipulation. You want to be a member? You serve. You do something. It's something outside of you. So many churches today, you come in and you're being entertained. Whatever the show they got going on the stage nowadays, I've seen some crazy ones here lately. Roller coasters and people flying in the air just to preach a sermon. Tell you what, you give me the $10,000 you spend building the roller coaster, and I'll go feed the poor. I'll go help a family who just lost everything. I'll go do that. I don't care if you find this attractive or not. That's ridiculous. But Christians have gotten to where they want to have their ears stroked, you know. Mike, Justin, still to this day, he likes it. There was a time in life, he'd be laying there, and I'd find my hand moving by itself, and it would find his ear. And he'd want me just to sit there and rub his ear. That's what Christians want today. Oh, no, you're okay. You don't need to do anything. No, we are called to produce fruit. But we look at it and it's like, well, look at my leaves. Look at all the things I do. I pray. I have remembered half the Bible. Good for you. I know a man who his son-in-law told me. He said that man has memorized literally 50% of the Bible. That's a lot of memorization. I can't even remember this is my rifle. But I do know there are many like it. But that one's mine. There's so many things that I'm like, is it really that important that I memorize that? But to memorize 50% of the Bible, that's an undertaking. But when the man was dying, he said, I'll give you $100 to shoot me. Excuse me? That don't sound like a man who knows the Bible. He memorized it, but he didn't get it. I know E equals MC squared. Woohoo! Big whoop-de-doo-dah. Don't know what it does. So what? I know pi is 3.14, blah, 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 blah. After, beyond that, I don't know the purpose of pi except to eat it. That is all I know. So there's things that if you really don't know and understand, they don't do you a bit of good. It done somebody some good to know all this stuff. But we were running around here looking at, oh, look at all my leaves. I've got leaves. Yeah, those are things you're supposed to do. You're supposed to pray as a Christian. Fasting, it wouldn't hurt us all to fast a little bit. Reading your Bibles. Oh my goodness, God forbid I ask you to read your Bible. You actually take a couple minutes out of your day. I'm not saying you sit down and you do a 2-hour word study every morning, unless that's what God is leading you to do. And most times what I find with Bible studies, some of you are going to hate me, somebody tries to take over. There's no real study of the Bible. It's everybody just wanting to tell their opinion. That's great, but the Bible isn't an opinionated book, except the Bible's opinion. Well, what do you think when it said this? It meant stop doing that. Don't bow down to these idols. Yes, you can sit and talk about the Word. Everyone I've been a part of, it just seems like they just kind of start, and there's usually a church that starts out of them. So you split a church. Just saying. But what about the fruit? Jesus told us to judge a tree by its fruit. Whether it's good fruit or bad fruit. You can't judge the fruit unless you taste and see. Are those good apples or are those bad apples? Let me find out. Oh. That is so bad. There's just no flavor. Personally, I do not like Red Delicious apples. Angela's like, I love them. I'm like, they're the blandest. Bleh. Give me a good Jonathan or a Gala. My goodness, even a good old Granny Smith. I like salt on my Granny Smiths. Brings out more flavor, believe it or not. I like the Honey Roast. Yeah, those are really good too. But there's so many things. You got to taste it and see if it's any good. And then if it's good, oh man, I want to eat it, eat it, eat it. So when I determined that the two peach trees I have are really not for our zone, even though they were sold to me right over here in Marion, for our zone, they do not grow for squat. I mean, they've grown big. They're supposed to be dwarfs. I've had to top them out because I can't reach anything on the top, even with a pole. Like, well, that kind of doesn't do me any good. Where's the peach trees I grew up with that were in our backyard that, you know, all I had to do when I was mowing is walk by and go, and let that good juice slobber down my face, down my armpit as I'm trying to keep it away from me. That's good. So what I determined was last year, I bought some local peaches. Oh, they were so good. Mm. They were the ones I was wanting. There's a taste. Not all peaches taste the same. But there's a flavor that I wanted, and I found them. So every peach that I ate out of that batch, I have the seed. Because I'm going to plant those seeds. And I'm going to grow trees. Because I really like peaches. And I've discovered that it is actually a hereditary thing. My grandfather loved peaches. Go figure. He loved peaches. As a matter of fact, when he would eat a peach, he took his, I think it was actually a nail file that he had on his thing. And he'd sit there and he'd file on that. And he'd make a basket out of the peach pit. I have the very last one. I thought, now that is cool. My aunt gave it to me, said this was the last one he ever did. Because he had sat on the porch. He didn't have legs. So he wasn't running around. But he sat there and filed that. That means something to me. But I was also asked to pass it on. So eventually it's going to go. Right now, it's locked in my safe. But the seed is what's the purpose of the fruit. Let me get into my notes here. John 15:8 says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. You want to glorify God? Start bearing fruit. Not being fruity, not running around quoting scriptures, casting demons out of the drums. There's no demons in the drums. There's no demonic drum beat. Let me tell you right now, the problem we have is a religious demon that's telling people that the music that you're listening to, and unless it's just full on worship Satan stuff, okay? If it's invoking lust, if it's invoking riotous living, if it's invoking anger, there's a lot of songs. I love the beats. There's a song, Get Down With the Sickness. Man, that's just one of your, That is one song right there. If you're not mad, you will be 5 minutes, halfway through it. You will want to destroy the world because of the spirit that song is promoting. Personally, I'll go over to Demon Hunter. If I want to bang my head and jump up and down because they're singing about songs about, yeah, I may be dying, but I know where I'm going. But there are people that they won't have drums because it's the demonic beat. The demons move. Let's get something straight. Do you want to know why it's perverted? Because Lucifer was a worship leader. Of course he's going to pervert it. He led praise and worship. I don't want my people moving. Let's all go down to the river. That's what we want. No, thank you. I've seen memes time and time again that say, we're not singing the old hymns, and there's some good old hymns, don't get me wrong. But if we're not singing the old hymns, we've done this generation a disservice. How we've done a generation a disservice by singing God's Not Dead. That you are more than enough. Oh, that's right, it's to a modern beat. I live in modern times. I live in a time right now that I can go to California, log into my truck, and I could start my truck sitting in its driveway from California. We aren't in yesterday anymore. I saw a John Deere tractor. The guys were standing out in the field watching it. There was no driver in it, and it was a driver tractor. But it's now got auto steer, and they got GPS, and they don't need to be in it. I think that's a little concerning. Because I was a mechanic for many years, and one thing I know about even electronics, they break. You got $150,000 tractor in this, and you got a great big ditch or a highway over here, and that thing goes pfft, just kind of like my cell phone does or my tablet will do from time to time. Oof, there's what my livelihood out on the highway. We need to embrace the times. That's not saying we forget. We need to remember, yes, it was God's amazing grace. And it was at that old rugged cross. And he is the rock of ages. But I remember, even those songs were headbangers to what was before. So our bearing fruit brings God much glory so that we may be disciples. So you will be my disciples through discipline. Through things, I don't want to do this, Lord. Lord, you just gave me this $50. I don't want to give it away. Give it away. Trust me. God will bless you more than that $50. This isn't going to come up here, so I got to. Matthew 5:16. I forgot to put it up here. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Everybody's, I will let my light shine. I'm going to make you hear me talk about Jesus. That ain't what he's talking about. That's not works. That's religiosity. Your good works are how you're conducting yourself. How are you conducting yourself out in public? When you could have easily blessed somebody and you chose to rip their head off. Or you could have showed just a little more kindness in something. Our fruit is to glorify God. That's what it's there for. It's pretty on the outside. You know, I love watching those apples. When I had that Empire apple tree, wonderful, flavorful tree. It was so big and so old, though. The center was rotten, and the tree was so big I couldn't prune it, let alone pick the apples. And so I had to cut it down. It was dying. And it is being burned. And now that wood is being burned to help smoke pork. It shows the world that we're changing from a wild planting and becoming productive through the vine that we are now grafted into. Did you know Jesus did good works? Everybody's like, well, he was this, he was this. Yeah, you know what? He went and he fed people. He obviously gave money to the poor regularly because that's what the disciples thought Judas was doing. They thought, oh, he told him to go give an offering to the poor. But he also laid hands on people, prayed for them. He didn't condemn them when they were drug out in their sin. He loved them. But this whole process is done through discipline. We're called to be disciples of Jesus Christ. You're not called to be my disciple. You're not called to be Billy Graham's disciple. You're called to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, not of Peter, not of Paul, of Jesus Christ. We're to emulate what we're trained in, what we've seen. I always like to use my military background, because it was only until later that I learned 3rd Battalion's motto was courage through discipline. It explains why we had all those stupid sand pits everywhere. Had one right outside the chow hall. We had one right in front of our barracks. We had one right over here. And there was one platoon. Thank God I got delivered. It was the original platoon I went with. They had so many guys, we didn't have beds. They'd already dropped a few in the series with us, so they sent me there. And one morning we walked out, and there's platoon 3086 in the sand, kicking sand all over each other. We're on our way to chow, man. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. They're out there in the pit learning discipline. Matthew 28:19, Jesus said, we're to be, make disciples of all men. It doesn't matter if you're white, black, purple, yellow, green. None of that matters. It doesn't matter if your heritage is Irish, Scottish, British, German, Russian, African, Mexican, Puerto Rican, whatever it is. After thanks to 23andMe, many of us have discovered we're literally mutts. There is no straight up, you're just all this. And if you are, you probably got some health issues. They call that inbreeding. My family, we had no idea what we are. We just knew we were hillbillies. Then my sister did it. We got Moroccan, Norwegian, Scottish, and we know the other side's Irish. Oh, yeah, there's also some German. Man, I got all kinds of things running through me. No wonder when I've ever thought about being the president of the United States, I could see myself taking over the world. There's a little German in there. Just a joke. Those of you who got more German, don't get upset. Because I'm 100% American. The fruit we bear as a believer in Jesus Christ is bringing glory to our Heavenly Father. The fruit that we bear is our good works. Sometimes I don't like how these things automatically flip. Titus chapter 3 and verse 14. And let our people also learn to maintain good works to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. Oh. Good works. That's why James said, you say you have faith, let me show you my faith by my works. He's not talking about just going out and preaching the gospel, beating people. Do you know you're going to hell? And when they say yes, how do you reply? That was my baptism into street witnessing. Walmart had just opened up in Ontario, and they said, let's go, we're gonna browbeat these people. That's what I call it now. I guess one old guy, I would say he was probably 60. When you're 18, he's old. Now that I'm only 5 years from that, that's not that old. Most of my friends are in that neighborhood. But I asked him, I said, do you know you're going to hell? And he says, yep. They didn't tell me how to answer that. Why? Because that's not witnessing. The good works people need to see is not that. They need to see us doing what we say we're supposed to be doing. Helping the unwed mothers, or even the families who can't afford a whole lot. They don't just stop with unwed mothers. It goes so much further beyond that. The ministries that we give into, some of them aren't even church related. Well, bless God, brother, if we're not going to give money, I don't really care what you want. We're giving clothes to kids who need clothes for school. Why? Because sometimes the image that you project at school is how people remember you. Some of you school teachers know exactly what I'm talking about. And it also affects that child's self-esteem. Yeah, they did wear those same clothes last year. And mom just sewed the holes up because they don't have money. And I bless God for the clothes closet. They put that money and they go buy new or very gently used clothes. Shoes that are new. We've donated. There's times we go out, if I'm at Kohl's, and listen, you can do this too. They want brand new ones though. Listen, I personally do not buy used shoes anymore. My feet mean the world to me now. Okay? I realize how important it is to have good footwear. I quit buying those $28 Brahma boots from Walmart. Some of you wore them, you know what I'm talking about. I got good inserts in my shoes. I saw a video with these guys. They were testing out different types of boots for hiking and stuff. And the first pair they tried on, these four different guys, were a pair of military-issue jungle boots. I know you wore them, I wore them, you wore them. You probably wore them. They look cool, don't they? We call them our convertibles because they're flexible tops. They're canvas. They got little holes in the side to let the water out. They've got these pads or these things built into the foot so that if you step on a bungee stick in Vietnam, it doesn't go through. So you got a piece of metal inside your foot. And I'm supposed to run into combat wearing that stupid thing? Mine clicks. It broke free years ago. I still got my boots. They had them on for 10 minutes, and the guy says, I pray my feet recover. How can anybody wear these? Fear and trembling. It's all you've got. So I don't wear used shoes that are already broke down, contoured to somebody else's foot. My dad and I, we were the same size shoe. He'd give me his boots when he got a new pair. My dad walks on the inside of his heels. So they were broke down like this. Yeah, that's not comfortable. Because I walk with my feet out. So our good works should be going and be seen by people. Not because we're out there. Look what we did. If that's what you're doing, you've received everything you're ever going to get. But the reality is, I rejoice to be able to provide things for people. They need food. I know where we can send them to get a lot. If they need food right then, well, we can help take care of that a little bit. But that's why we support these other ministries, the garage in Edison, for people who can't fix their own car. Well, why don't they do this? Why don't they just go out and fix it? Not everybody is mechanically inclined. And there's days I wish I wasn't, that I'd been smarter with computers and went that way, keep my fingers clean. I didn't tell you this yet. So I had to take my lawnmower and work on it the other day. I had to take the motor off because the governor let go and it just disintegrated inside it, which lets your motor run really, really fast. Then I'm pulling the pulley off the bottom so I can pull the motor up. I got my gear puller on there, ratcheting that thing out of there. It hits all the way down to the end without me realizing it. At the same exact time, this is how I know it was the devil. At the same exact time, that hit its bottom. The two bolts holding the leg, one of the legs on, both let go. They vibrated out. I wasn't watching, and that thing is in my impact. Going dookie, 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 and then suddenly it lets go, and it's got two of these steel arms, and my left hand was there, and before I could let go and drop everything, it had beat the snot out of my left hand. I'm like, now I remember why I quit wrenching. But those things that we do, those are our good works. Because ladies and gentlemen, the fruit, every fruit, to include even the new GMO'd ones, that seedless grapes. Yeah, you'll find a grape, you'll find a seed in there eventually. What is inside of every piece of fruit? A seed. People are looking at the things we do on the outside. I don't care to entertain you with a smoke show. I mean, we could put Pink Floyd to shame with lasers and all this stuff. I don't care about that. What about people in the prisons? They want to know Jesus. What about people that are hungry? And they say, you tell me that you love God and all this, and my family is homeless and starving. The other day we got wind of a lady, and I can't remember who or where she was, but she was homeless. She was somebody's relative. Just found out she was living in her car. I think I remember now. We prayed. We got together, and I think it was before the end of the day, we found out she had found a home and found a way for everything. Sometimes you need to just pray. I'm a firm believer in the power of prayer. Hey, I may not, just as Peter and John said, hey, I ain't got silver or gold right now, but what I do have, I'm going to give you. And they reached down, they said, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. The Bible says that man took off running and jumping and leaping. We used to sing a song like it. Anybody remember it? They all had the same 80s tune. But we were coming out of it, bless God. He went running and leaping and praising God. I've seen things like that happen. I've seen lives restored. We had a man, he was sitting right about where you're at today, Kim. Brenda was there with me. She's like, he ain't got a pulse. The dude died. She's laying him down to start CPR, and I start praying in the spirit. He lived long enough to at least go live with his daughter. But our fruit is stuff that people need to be able to see. 1 Peter 2:12 says, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. Our conduct, ladies and gentlemen, they don't need to see us blaming everybody else for our problem, for the stupidity we did. Sometimes Christians are worse than the heathen about passing the blame. Well, it was all the devil's fault. The devil didn't make you do diddly squat. That's actually anti-scriptural. The Bible says we're lured away by our own desires. So you went to the strip club, that's on you, not the devil. Well, I want somebody to blame. Blame yourself. When you get real and honest with yourself, then you can start healing. That when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Oh, there's going to be people, I don't care how much good you do with Heartbeat, how much good we do that's done with the garage over there, the food banks, the clothing shelters. It doesn't matter. Somebody's going to be evil against you. We always say, danged if you do and darned if you don't, right? So what? They're always going to be out there doing that. They're always going to be making false accusations. Jesus said, rejoice when they raise up against you and they bring false accusations. Please let them be false. Please let them be false. The world doesn't need to see you preaching love and peace and you going out beating your neighbor. Do we remember the parable of the unforgiving servant who was forgiven much? Let me break this down to you. You got saved. You went to the king, you're about to pass judgment, and say, please forgive me. The King of Kings says, you're forgiven. And you go out and you find Miss Sherry. Well, Miss Sherry made a mistake. Maybe that's all it was, or maybe she did do it intentionally to hurt you. You owe me. Do you know what you did? Do you know how? And you begin to chew on her with your words. And you beat her with your words. She knows what she did was wrong. And the King of Kings hears about it. He says, how dare you? How dare you? I forgave you 10 times what she did. Do I need to remind you of what you did to this person, how you swindled that person, how you spread lies about this person? I forgave you so much, and she merely did a little thing. You should have forgiven her. He said, because you didn't. Remember, this is Jesus speaking, not Art, not Paul, not Peter, not John. Not your favorite Bible preacher. This is the word. It's in red. And it backs up with the Lord's Prayer. If you do not forgive those who have sinned against you, neither will your sins be forgiven you. And he said, I will cast you into utter darkness where there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. One of the biggest things we have got to do, folks, is forgive people. You can't keep beating that dead horse. I love using Pat as this example. I've used him before. I've known Pat for a few. Actually, I met Pat when he was my age. He was just about to retire. He retired. And so I met him a few years ago now, because I was not in my 50s. I was in my 30s. But he told me one time, he said, my ex-wife told me, she says, you've changed. He said, because I don't hate you anymore. He's forgiven her. See, that's what unforgiveness does to us. We hate people. So whoever you're struggling with something, you got to forgive them. Because it boils into full-blown hate, and it'll be always on your heart. And trust me, folks, it will not just be one little incident. It will flood over. It's why I've told you before when I did that message about hate. Many of you have done great. It's a hard thing to cut that word out of our life, because hate is the exact opposite of love. Nowhere. We're supposed to disdain, despise sin, but we can't separate the sinner from the sin. So I'm just going to tell you this. Don't hate. I don't care what Islam does against you. Love them. Pray for them. I don't care what this person at your job is spreading lies. Pray for them. The Bible says when you pray for them, you heap coals on their head. Now, I don't know about you, but I've done some grinding and some welding in my days without a little skull cap. One of the worst things you can be doing is having that and have those hot coals come down on top of your very delicate skin. Because I don't care how tough and bad you think you are, when you've got molten metal burning through your skull, you can move faster than lightning. Because it hurts. And the rest of the day, you're going to be walking around like that because it hurts. What do you think pouring love and praying for people? Pray for them. They want to see our fruits. They don't want to see our leaves. Well, I read the Bible an hour a day. I pray an hour a day. Big whoop-de-doo. What did God say in your prayer time? Who did you pray for? Well, I prayed to God to bring justice and bring me justice in my situation. That's good. Did you pray for compassion for that person? Well, no, yeah. See, even God went to Sodom and Gomorrah personally to see if he could bring compassion to it, because God didn't want to do what was about to happen. Don't let people have solid footing on judging you as bad fruit. Well, I don't care what they say about me. You'd better start caring. Caring. No. Unfortunately, most of you know the negative connotation. This is the sweetest woman I know. But it's been used by the world to talk about somebody that needs to mind their own doggone business. It's very unfortunate. They even tried to use Kyle as the male version of it. It couldn't get there. Well, it's Kevin, but now they just call him male Karens. I'm like, what is wrong? They need to meet my mother-in-law. I'm going to stop there. This week, you have the opportunity. As soon as you walk out these doors, you have the opportunity for good works. Being kind to people. I don't care if you recognize, how many times you recognize somebody that you're like, I know who they are. 30 years ago, they did this to me. I'll get my hand in the air. I'm like, I know where I know them from. They did this. And about the time I start thinking about that, the Holy Spirit says, is that what you, is this where you want to be when Jesus comes back? No, I don't. Lord, I pray for them. I release them from that. Because it's not doing me any good right now. And I find that when I start spending time praying for those people, God moves in my life. I don't have to pray for the thing. He manifests it. He knows what I need before I even ask him. So this week, pray for those who spitefully use you. That means they know what they're doing and they're doing it intentionally. Pray for them. And I'm not saying God poured down fire and brimstone like you did Sodom and Gomorrah. Father, pour down your mercy and love in their lives. Because usually, we know this, we've said it enough, hurting people hurt people. When you start seeing it that way and you understand, there's compassion. All right, let's stand. All of these things we prayed for today, stand on them. Believe and trust God. You don't have to worry about them. Just say, God, we put it in your hands today. There it is. What are you going to do taking it out of his hands? Not a thing. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord God, we truly do desire to glorify you by our good works. Father, help us all. Through your Holy Spirit, Lord God, remind us when we're out and about. People are watching. Somebody knows who we are. Lord God, I thank you that you're going to move in our lives. Father, you're helping us to overcome those things, to overcome the bitterness that is brought on by unforgiveness. Lord, help us to release them through your Holy Spirit. And now, Father, I thank you for these people. Lord God, they've poured out their lives to you. Bless them in that, Lord. Lord, those that are standing against a wall, open an opportunity. Father, deliver them from the fiery darts of the evil one. Father, may they bounce off like a bullet off of a tank. In Jesus' name, amen.